Two Catholic crusaders for the 21st century. I'm on duty. Terry, what about you?
Yes, I'm on duty. I'm all fired up, brother. I spent 3 days up at the Napa conference. I'm going to give a report about how it was like a retreat for me. I drove just under 1,000 miles, and it was worth every mile driving up there to get that. Hey, today's show, we got some special topics. One of them is, and this is something I think everyone listening, you get hit up whenever, especially in California, about the mask. We got 47 studies confirming the ineffectiveness of masks for COVID and 32 more confirmed health effects that are negative for our children and for adults. And this is something you just have to have as a resource.
It's all science.
It's all science, but it shows that we're being bamboozled by this. Also, Archbishop Vigano, basically coming back to the vaccines, so-called vaccines, made by fetal tissues. He says it's a human sacrifice. Okay, now what does he mean by that and tying it in with the devil? We're going to talk about that because I believe that's important also. And then we've got, you know, five ways liberals try to control us. Okay, well, boy, we've been, especially if you're in California, we see that a lot. And then, like I say, I want to give a really great report. I met so many good bishops up at the Napa conference who are aware of
here,
our
well,
work.
Just give it now. Just keep going.
All right.
Yeah,
Justin,
talk about
before
it.
Before the gospel. Real
yeah,
quick,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah.
Let me just put it this way. Many of you saw a picture of Bishop Strickland there. He was there. I served his holy mass. And I got to tell you, Jesse, I've been to masses for, what, 50 years of my life. And when Bishop Strickland sang the mass, at the time of the concert, at the time of the elevation, he held the chalice up and the host up for over 35 seconds, letting us adore Jesus in the Eucharist. Now, folks, I actually commented to him after in the sacristy after mass. I said, Bishop, thank you for such a beautiful mass. I like it when you hold Jesus up for us to adore. And he says, well, why shouldn't I? It's God. No, that's his answer. Now, folks, how many masses? I went to mass today. You know what? The priest held Jesus up, did he? But I think it's a good idea to bring back this great love for the Holy Eucharist. Also, here I am coming into the chapel at the Napa Institute at 5:30 in the morning because I like to make my holy hour, you know, these things. I get up early, go to bed early. And so when I get there, who do I see coming in? Well, on my left is Bishop Joseph Strickland, and on my right is Archbishop Cordeleon from San Francisco. Wow. After I pray the rosary with these guys, then another two bishops come in. Jesse, here's the inspiration. There were like three or four lay people in there and about five or six bishops with their hands in their face praying before Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. If that doesn't pump you up, nothing will, especially in these times of craziness. So I just have to say that I had a really positive experience there. I did my work that, and just a note here, a benefactor paid for me to go up there and paid the $2,600 registration fee. You know what my job was, everybody? I'll be up blunt, to introduce these bishops and lay people to another group to do a video on quietism. I was part of that video on quietism, and he paid for my expenses completely. So our benefactors here that are listening, we didn't have to put any money out other than some gas money. So but my point to you is when I came back from that retreat, I was fired up. I had hope that, hey, there are good bishops. Matter of fact, one thing that really blew me away, Jesse, here's an article about that bishop last week in New Mexico denying Holy Communion to pro-abortion Democrat guys. I won't say his name, but the bishop said, Terry, you're going to be very happy when it comes out. The document's going to be tight. It's going to point out nobody on either side, anywhere, politician, sports guy, you're supporting abortion, no communion for you. So that was refreshing to hear it from a bishop's mouth. So bottom line on all this, Jesse, there are problems in the church. I get it. But folks, there's nowhere else to go. But we do have bishops. As a matter of fact, Bishop Strickland's little clip that we're putting out on YouTube and we're buying some money to get it promoted. He's just saying, look, even in the church, there's problems. But listen, we have to stick to the truths of the faith, the perennial teachings of the church. And that's what we try to do here at Virgin Most Powerful. And I just leave you on one last note, Jess Romero and Virgin Most Powerful. These bishops know about us and they support us. I won't say they're going to put it out on, you know, like what a Bishop Strickland does, where he says, I support you. And I'll tell you one more thing. You guys are going to laugh. I had breakfast with Father James Altman, everybody. Yes, I did. And so, you know, it was a great retreat for all of us. And I'm fired up to proclaim more about Jesus Christ, to introduce people to Christ. And yes, I have to expose the problems of the church. But you know what? With just exposing problems without a solution, it's depressing. I'm so optimistic. You know why? Because I read the end of the book. We win. And if I can go next year to this conference, it looks like I might be one of the speakers next year, Jess, from what I hear.
You need to be.
I would. Yeah, well, I'm happy to be there. But here's the point. Lay people. I was with Tim Grant. Tim from the Augustine Institute.
Tim Gray
and all these other guys that were there, all focusing on evangelization. It's just what we need right now. So let's get to talk about evangelization, Jess. We've got the gospel of today, and we have the saint of the day, Saint Joachim and Anne. So let's get to the gospel and talk a little bit.
Also, one good thing that I did hear about the conference is I've heard Michael Vohr say that a lot of people have red-pilled. Even very wealthy Catholics realize that, you know what, we need to use our money to
voting with our
So that's also a good sign. He said basically everybody there came up to him and said, keep on doing what you're doing because we need to know this.
And you know, just to make a note, he and I had a pizza together. I didn't eat the pizza because I wasn't hungry, but Michael was there. There were so many different lay organizations there just wanting to connect with people. And, you know, we really did support each other. And I was very impressed with the quality of speakers, that spoke at the conference. They were all orthodox in the sense of giving the solid teachings, the perennial teachings of the church. And I made so many interviews that you'll hear in the weeks to come from that conference. So, Jess, good point. Let's get to the gospel. Talk about good news. There's no better good news than the gospel. And that today's, like I said, a feast day of St. Joachim and Anne. What a great day it is.
Yep. Pray for us, the grandparents of our Lord Jesus Christ. So today's gospel at Holy Mass, Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. Jesus proposed a parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches. He spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A couple things that jump out here is when you see verse 32 where it talks about the kingdom of God, it's a mustard seed, but it grows into this big tree. So what does it mean that the parable of the mustard seed, the way it's illustrated, and it contrasts the size between a seed and a mature tree? Well, what our Lord is saying is that our Lord sows the kingdom in a small band of disciples. That's the seed. And he expects it to grow into a worldwide church. That's the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So these metaphors used in the Old Testament also represent great empires as great trees. So this is also a biblical metaphor, including the kingdom of Israel. It's called a great tree in Ezekiel 17. And in this gospel, our Lord is talking about the birds. That represents us, the Gentile nations, the way the Gentile nations will become part of the Catholic Church, Jew and Gentile. And Jesus' parable, it also points to the spread of the gospel and the acceptance of the gospel by the Gentiles into the church. And also the leaven. This is the term. Sometimes leaven in the Bible is a symbol of evil in the world. But here it has a positive symbolism. Because at one level, the leaven represents the grace of the kingdom that sanctifies the world through the church. And at a personal level, the leaven is the individual Christian called to bring the gospel to those around him. And also in verse 35, where it talks about the prophet or by the prophet. In Psalm 78, verse 2, this psalm accentuates the positive function of parables. It says that parables enlighten the humble by revealing God's mysteries. So this is a positive use of the word parables as used by the prophets. One of their function is to reveal what has been hidden in the past. Terry?
Well said, Jesse. Excellent commentary. All right, let's bring in the smartest guy into the room. And this is a very appropriate full sheen ahead here. You know, when I said full sheen ahead at the Napa Institute, everybody knew who I was. It's hilarious. Jess, Fulton Sheen's comment today is really apropos for what we're going to be talking about, no compromise. Here's what Fulton Sheen says. God says to us, if you give me your time, I will give you my eternity. In other words, constant metanoia, conversion to Christ. We have to encourage people to fall deep in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Because you know what? Falling in love with yourself, it ain't going to cut it. The unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. Yeah. And that's what our world really is offering us, Jess. There's really two schools of thought right now. Secular humanism or falling in love with Jesus Christ. When we come back, we're going to share with you 47 confirmed studies about the ineffectiveness of masks. By the way, don't forget, on the 7th of August, we have the Sex and Honor Conference with Dr. Louis Sandoval. Go to our website, or you can register by 877-526-2151 or our vmpr.org, and you can register for that conference. I hope to see you then. We'll be back with more, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
I wish the left would follow the science.
Yeah, really?
Because one study after another, and we're holding one in front of our face, put out by LifeSite News, is called 47 Studies Confirm Ineffectiveness of Masks for COVID, and 32 more studies confirm their negative health effects on young children, especially being forced to wear these masks. This is of particular concern. And by the way, LifeSite News has produced an extensive COVID-19 vaccine research on their front page.
Yep.
It's a one-stop shop for this topic right here.
Yep.
Now, go to vmpr.org or jessieromero.com if you want the link, and you can read for yourself the 47 mask studies that prove their ineffectiveness. So you can read them for yourself, because a whole lot, and they're very detailed. And you could also read on this study, again, the face mask, the side effects, and the health implications. They're all very detailed. They all have their own URLs, so you can go to the exact academic resource and see what they're saying. But the gist of this is written by John Weston in the first couple of articles. He says, prior to face mask mandates as an alleged preventative for COVID infection and transmission, such masks were infrequently worn in hospitals and other medical facilities. They were only used in operating theaters or for visiting seriously ill patients in order to prevent infection from spit or droplets into the open wounds, or to partially protect visitors from acquiring and transmitting pathogens more dangerous than COVID. Many doctors and nurses have told LifeSite that for decades, if not longer, staff wearing medical masks were an uncommon sight in healthcare facilities other than as mentioned above. No studies were needed to justify this practice, since most people understood viruses were far too small to be stopped by the wearing of most masks. Other than sophisticated ones designed for that task and which were too costly and complicated for the general public to properly wear and keep changing or cleaning, it was also understood, get this, that long mask wearing was unhealthy for wearers for common sense and basic science reasons. There has been an international flood of lies about mask wearing in order to justify the bizarre and disturbing situation we have today of almost everyone wearing masks in many regions, inside and outside healthcare facilities, in schools with children of all ages, during sporting events, in churches, in grocery stores, and in all commercial facilities. While driving and walking and long after peak infection has passed. Terry, we got to push back, Terry.
Well, of course we do. And Jesse, 20% of the people have said that even after this so-called pandemic is over, they're never going to take their mask off. Now, Jesse, you're laughing. They're scared. They're so frightened. And this is one of the reasons when you have somebody who's frightened, you can tell them what to do and when to do it, and they just follow the instructions.
And why are they frightened? Because they hear this constant diet of propaganda from the mainstream media, controlled by the Marxist Illuminati, all the public information that people hear. And you know what happens, Terry?
Tell me.
It's basically the rape of the mind.
Yeah, well, you have a book, that, Jesse, you recommended that book. Yeah. And I got a contact today that they said it was a fantastic book. It
the
really
Rape of the Mind.
And people can just go online, type that on, and get that book.
Yes.
Jesse, I want to also not only say it's just those people on the far left. I will say even inside the church, at the highest levels of the church, they're telling people to wear masks. And so people call me, and what do I tell you? And this is what I tell them, Jess. I said, look, that's not the Pope's expertise about wearing masks or getting vaccinated, because they can be wrong. It's a prudential decision. Just like 80 years ago in Mexico, when the revolution was going on, the Holy Father and the Holy See interacted in to trying to make peace between the two forces in Mexico. And they told these men that, look, the Mexican government said that if you just lay down your arms, you can go back to your wife and families, and everybody can live in peace, and we won't persecute you. We'll let you off. So, what did the Holy See tell these 5,000 men? Set your guns down. Guess what happened to those 5,000 men? They were
executed.
Shot. Execution, exactly. And I'm going to say this right now, Jesse, with all due respect for bishops, priests, the Pope, that's not their expertise. The science doesn't defend that.
They're not scientists.
Right. And so I believe that those priests, those bishops, the Pope, he may have good will for you, but he's dead wrong when it comes to the vaccine and the mask. The science does not support this. End of story.
Even Cardinal Pell several years ago when...
I remember that.
The Holy Father made some statement regarding, and he was touching on science.
Yep.
Cardinal Pell, who was back, one of the insiders working for him back then in the Roman Curia, he just said, I want to remind the Catholics in the world that the Holy Father is not a scientist, and his statements are science, are not binding upon the faithful. He said it respectfully, and that's exactly what you're just saying.
And we have to do it respectfully.
Yeah, but I'm just doing it. I'm just saying Cardinal Pell said that.
Yeah, so. Yeah, Cardinal Pell said it. Other bishops are saying it. As a matter of fact, in a lot of things right now in the church, we can criticize. Canon 212 gives us that authority to say, wait a minute, it doesn't make sense. We have thinking. God gave us a brain, okay, to look and read and look at situations and make judgments. And I think that's what we're doing here. Jesse.
Terry, even the left in the Catholic Church is always saying, here's what they always say. I don't have to listen to Humanae Vitae. Oh, yeah. I follow my conscience. Yeah. That's what they always say. Well, here's what they've... Well, we're following our conscience as well. We're following
informed.
Our well-formed Christian moral conscience based on the Word of God.
Yeah, and the perennial teachings of the church.
Yes, and the perennial teachings of the church tell us that we shouldn't do anything to perpetuate the abortion industry. I don't care if they just, in what shape or form, they're using fetal stem cells for this examination, investigation, whatever they're doing. I want no part of it.
Of course
I want no part of the perpetuation of the killing of my brothers and sisters of the human race being killed by the Holocaust of abortion.
And I'm going to ask our listeners, do you know what yesterday commemorated, folks? July 25th? Yeah, St. James. But I'll tell you what happened. July 25th, 1968. It was a document called Humanae Vitae that Jesse just referred to. You're probably not going to hear anybody talk about it unless you're with the Terry and Jesse Show and some others. Good stories. Not a lot, though. The point of it is the transmission of life is sacred, and what we do with that participation of the sacredness of life is important. And we're going to talk more about that. Just getting back to this mask, they say there's a whole number 17 on this document says why masks don't work against COVID-19. The bottom line is in this study, the mask cannot block the disease coming through the mask. In other words, It doesn't, it's not effective. You know what it really does? It gives you a false sense of security, and they don't work. As a matter of fact, in many of these studies, it shows that after you wear a mask for so long, the amount of air that goes into your brain that you need is 25% less or more, less than 25%, somewhere in there, that hurts your breathing. This is going to give you effects for your health in a negative way, and you think that they're telling you to wear it because it's good for your health. Just the opposite. These studies all indicate wearing a mask is bad for your health.
As they call it, it's ineffective.
Yeah, but not only ineffective, Jesse, it's bad. It's, you know what happens when you have less oxygen? Everything doesn't work well. Your brain, the blood flow, oxygen's necessary.
That's right. And John Weston writes here, he says, it has also continued long after that it was discovered that COVID was not nearly as dangerous as we were led to believe.
Remember how bad it was supposed to be?
Yeah, exactly. That many of the mitigation policies caused serious damage of all kinds, including many deaths, and long after prevention and treatment protocols were discovered and used with great success.
That's right.
And the very best ones often criminally suppressed by government and health authorities. Yeah.
What's that about?
They were the government and health authorities were suppressing ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, which they use in third world countries very effectively, by the way. John Henry writes, the unnecessary and greatly exaggerated fear during the first few months of this pandemic, which would never have been labeled a pandemic until the World Health Organization unilaterally changed the pandemic definition to include much less dangerous pathogens, has been manipulated to continue to this day. They still keep calling it a pandemic, and it's not. Unlike past experiences with similar virus outbreaks, there have been numerous lies fed to the public by the World Health Organization, national and regional government leaders, and healthcare bureaucrats, and the media, and many other institutions. All certainly for the purpose of maintaining fear until the large majority of the public has been injected with the poorly tested, unnecessary, and dangerous COVID vaccines for which we have no evidence for their long-term study. This last paragraph is great. President Joe Biden has been consistently presenting numerous outrageous lies to justify his extreme COVID and vaccine policies. Mm-hmm. And Paul Elias Alexander, doctor, has written an article published on LifeSite News that summarizes all the most prominent and damaging lies that have been generated, continuing fear, and caused a large percentage of Americans and citizens of other nations to accept the jab in order to allegedly be able to return to a normal life. Included in Dr. Alexander's list are the lies related to mask mandates. Once again, there's 47 studies in this article confirming that masks are useless in preventing COVID infection and transmission. And there's a second list of 32 academic studies confirming the negative health effects caused by frequent mask wearing, especially for young children. Terry?
And Jesse, just to prove my point, if we were still on YouTube, they would kick us off for what we just said today.
Oh, God.
Okay? And that's just making my point. They don't want the truth to get out. You remember the analogy, the emperor has no clothes on? Well, that's what's going on right now. People are acting like, oh, I'm going to go jog, okay? I better wear a mask. You know, I got coyotes and deer out there. I might, you know, I don't want to get the virus from them. They're so paranoid. How did they get paranoid? Because they bought into the narrative. And the narrative is false. And it just takes a little bit of guts, not much, to call them out and say, here's the studies. Read them for yourself. And then make a decision rather than just going along because, hey, the government official at my church said hey, this is a, I'm not going to buy that.
No, this is not, Terry, this is not a pandemic. This is a scaredemic.
Yep.
This is a plandemic.
That's
this
right.
is a scamdemic. It was an election year. They had to take out, the Marxists had to take out Donald Trump.
Of course.
And guess what? This scaredemic is going to go down in history as the greatest embarrassing fiasco of all time.
Well, you're not the only one that said that. Dennis Prager made that comment a while back, and I happen to agree with you and Dennis Prager because I look at the facts, and the facts tell me that we've been duped. Hey, when we come back, we got Archbishop Vigano. No, we don't have him on the air, but we have an article with him. He's talking about the connection with the fetal tissues are a human sacrifice and innocent victims offered to Satan. I want to show you why he's right. We'll be right back, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
St. Joachim and St. Anne, pray for us.
Boy, do we need them to their intercession. Oh, big time.
Archbishop Vigano does it again. Talk about the moral clarity of John the Baptist and St. Paul the Apostle wrapped into one.
That's true.
He made a statement that the vaccines made with fetal tissue are a human sacrifice of innocent victims offered to Satan. What he's saying right now, Terry,
is exactly
what Satanists have said.
Yeah, so we've had many of them tell us that.
Yeah, you got
Zachary King has said it. I remember
Zachary
him.
Zachary King,
forget.
Former Satanist, yeah. Says the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm looking at here at the Satanic Temple in Detroit. They've said the same thing. Their leader, a guy named Blackmore, a guy named Greaves. These are the top saints, high priests in the Church of Satan. They're saying the same thing Vigano's saying, Terry.
But Jesse, you've explained this many times to our listeners that the devil does things the opposite. For example, black mass, the opposite, and bringing forth new life. This just makes total sense that abortion industry is tied into the satanic industry.
That's right. So Archbishop Vigano, in a foreword to a book on the problem of the coronavirus vaccine, he decries the satanic nature of this vaccine using tissue of aborted babies in its production and testing. And for Archbishop Vigano, the vaccine is a tool of the globalist ideology, which is anti-human, anti-religious, and anti-Christic. Archbishop Vigano says, or he sees that abortion is proposed by the Satanists as a true and proper religious right.
There you go.
Arguing that in this satanic worldview, through an abortion-tainted vaccine, one can become a member of the satanic anti-church. And he also writes that Satan claims, quote, through the pharmaceutical companies that use fetal tissue from abortions to manufacture a so-called vaccine that is presented in the delirium of COVID-19 as a sacrament of salvation by which one is incorporated into the mystical body of Satan.
Wow.
The globalist, the anti-church. He sounds just like Pope John Paul II and Fulton Sheen right here.
Yeah, he does. And Jesse, I just want to mention, Bishop Strickland has talked on this Bishop Strickland Hour about why he won't take the vaccine and why he encourages people not to. And he makes the connection to say, hey, even if this vaccine works, which he said, I don't believe it does, so-called vaccine, but it gives me 10 years more of life. He said, I'm not willing to compromise my faith to get 10 years of extra life on this planet when my home is in heaven. And knowing that if I stand up for the truth about this, that it's tied into abortion and I will not take it, and I pay a heavy price for not doing that, my glory will be a big crown. So I happen to agree with Bishop Strickland that I don't want to compromise to get some health benefit, if it is a benefit. As a matter of fact, Jesse, I'm going to make a prediction as the months and the year come by, these people who have been vaccinated, their health situation is going to be compromised, and there will be many, many people, already happened, of people losing their health and even losing their life because they were vaccinated. So here, my point is this, even if it worked, I don't think it would be good, like Bishop Strickland said, to compromise, to be participating in the killing of innocent life that may give you life. No, I'm not willing to do that. And I think Archbishop Vigano is basically tying this in to the devil. Because think about it. What's the devil in the business of? Compromise.
Yeah. And also stealing, lying, and killing.
So this fits right into his job description.
Lying and killing. Also, this whole demonic abortion industry, once again,
killing.
I'm looking at the national spokesman for the Church of Satan.
Oh, yeah. Tell us what he has.
Jex Blackmore.
He should know.
Well, he's national.
You think?
He's like the Pope of the Satanists
exactly.
in the U.S.
Exactly.
Okay? Mm-hmm. He says Greaves insists that the organization, which has waged a long legal battle to claim that killing babies through abortion is a religiously protected satanic ritual.
Ritual.
This is Jex Blacksmore. He was the former national spokesman for the Satanic Temple. Also, the Church of Satan over in Missouri. They also told the Missouri governor, they said, abortion is our sacrament.
Yeah, like and, we have the mass.
And we're going to sue you, Missouri governor, and the U.S. because you're restricting abortion violates our free exercise of religion. So the Satanists in Missouri are admitting this is part of our ritual. And by you, governor of Missouri, promoting all these pro-life pieces of you're destroying our black mass. You also have a very well-respected journalist, Robert Farrell. And he says, he described the case of a Mexican man from Morelia, Michoacan, who was possessed by four demons. And Robert Farrell, this very well-respected journalist, he says that during the exorcism, he says the demons were forced by the Virgin Mary to say that they had returned to infest Mexico again, mainly Mexico City.
Wow.
And Robert Farrell states during the exorcism that the demon said this. The demon said this to the priest, quote, "You are stupid. She, the Virgin Mary, rushed us from Mexico, but now with your stupid laws, you have allowed the sacrifices to return back to Mexico, the human sacrifices. We do not want to say this, but she stomps our head and forces us to do so." So during the possession, the demons told the priest that the pro-abortion laws now in Mexico have brought back the demons, the Aztec demons that were thrown out by Our Lady of Guadalupe. They have been ushered back in through Mexico's abortion laws.
Jesse,
this is what Vigano's saying, Terry.
Exactly, but Jesse, you've made this point over and over again, that 60, 70 years ago, the Satanists were not that open. They hid with their message. They did it behind doors. Now it's all open. And I want to ask you that comment on that comment you mentioned to me months ago when you pointed out that there's a reason, I think it was Father Chad Ripperger told you this. Why is it that they're so open now about Satanism? Tell us, Jess.
The reason is because you'll find exorcists like Father Chad Ripperger and many others that teach that there was a specific intentional assault upon the West starting the 60s.
Yes.
Satan has five generals that work under him. You want to see this? There's a video. Father Ripperger goes into this in detail. And each of the generals are demons of sexual perversion.
Yep.
He launched the demon of fornication in the 60s. Right. Then he launched the demon of homosexuality of the male type. He launched the demon of homosexuality of the female type. He launched the demon of lesbianism. And then he launched the demon of abortion. All these demons that are right now embedded in the United States of America right now and using politics, media, and education to promote their diabolical agenda, this is what we're dealing with. Father Ripperger says that the last and final demon is a demon of abortion called Moloch, who we reject.
Right.
Reject, rebuke, and renounce in Jesus' name. This is what we're dealing with right now, Terry. Moloch on earth, and he's the one that runs basically the globalists. He runs the great resetters. He runs the Illuminati, the Masons, and it's all these globalists that are together. They have this insatiable desire to the return to child sacrifice, like in the Old Testament and like in Aztec Mexico.
Jesse, in addition to that, I recall Father also pointing out that because so few people are living a sacramental life,
yes,
our guard is down. So Satan has a better way of attacking it. It would be like in a military battle. It's a surprise attack. Like, we don't believe that the devil exists. Okay, if you don't believe that this army doesn't exist, how are you going to defend yourself when they come at you?
Yeah,
is that a fair statement?
Flying.
Pardon me?
Yeah, how are you going to defend yourself when the bullets are flying?
That's my point.
If you don't think they exist.
So if we don't live a sacramental life, look at how few people are going to Mass. Think about the confession lines where we get the sacrament of grace for our forgiveness of our sins. How many of us are going to be able to defend ourselves from Satan when we're living a decadent life? I don't think too many, Jess.
Yes, and Archbishop Vigano in his this article, which it's actually a foreword to a book. Mm-hmm. The book is written by Professor Massimo Viglioni.
Yeah,
It's the book that he wrote, and he asked Archbishop. The book is also, it has many articles there.
Yeah, John Bishop Henry Weston has one.
Bishop Athanasius Snyder, John Henry Weston. Yep. The book is called Your Death is My Life. Your Death is My Life.
Isn't that an interesting title?
Very interesting. And again, they asked Archbishop Vigano to write the subtitle, the foreword, excuse me.
Beautiful.
And the subtitle of the book is called The End Does Not Justify the Means.
You think?
And with this book, at the end, again, here's where Archbishop Vigano makes the connection again. This is about a half a dozen times that he uses the word Antichrist.
Right.
In the last article, he says, great confusion reigns in this painful phase of the history of the church. The inaction or abuse of the authority of the hierarchy, along with the betrayal of so many false pastors and mercenaries, does not help to dispel the confusion of the faithful. And by the way, that's why we have this show. We're trying to unconfuse the faithful.
Yep, with the truth.
Vigano writes, and indeed, the shepherds, he's talking about bishops and pope. That's what he's talking about.
Yep.
And indeed, the shepherds even feed the confusion with partial, discordant, and contradictory directions. Check this out. Vigano writes, in this too, we can realize the gravity of the situation and how much the defection of the pastors, that's the bishops, is a necessary premise for the establishment of the kingdom of the Antichrist. This man keeps using this term over and over again, and he's saying one of the necessary components for the kingdom of the Antichrist, who will wrap himself in communism, will be, it has to be the defection of the bishops.
Yeah, the shepherds. Yep.
Yeah. And that's the way the Antichrist will be ushered in without any pushback, Terry.
Well, think about the analogy of a good shepherd protecting the sheep. And he lets the wolves come right in and devour the sheep. That's an analogy I think is fair right now in the church. And I hate to have to say it. You know, we need to be praying hard for our bishops, priests. As you know, on Thursdays we pray here for all of the above. When we come back with the Terry and Jesse Show, I'm going to point out who's trying to control you. Five ways liberals are trying to control you here on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. Stay with us, family. We'll have more to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus and his truth.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
In the documentary, The Wolves in Sheep's Clothing, put out by EWTN, they quote a very famous communist there. I forget who his name is, but I'd have to look at my notes. But he said, Americans will not accept the word communism, but they will accept the word liberalism or progressive. Yeah. So use the word liberal or progressive. This way we can bring in communism to America, because if you use communism, Americans will push back. Well, guess what? They've been using the term liberal since the 60s, and that's exactly what we have right now, Terry. Yeah. We have socialism and communism that we're fighting right now. Basically, we're in a death grip right now.
We do, but the Bible talks about liberalism, correct, Jesse?
Yeah, it talks about progressivism.
Well, there you go. It's the same thing. I just want to make sure that, you know, this is a biblical approach, too, that liberalism, progressive, that's not the biblical way. The biblical way is God's way.
Yeah, Terry, I'm looking here at an article which is very, very well documented.
John Hawkins,
That the liberals have tried to control America by five different ways.
Right.
But I'm right on the top, it quotes Ann Coulter. She says, whatever liberals disapprove of, they want banned. And whatever they approve of, they make mandatory. That's what happened to us. Liberals didn't like what we had to say on YouTube, so they banned us from YouTube.
Yep.
But liberalism is an ideology that believes in control, not freedom.
That's right.
That's why liberals love the federal government, and they detest states' rights, because it allows them to bend hundreds of millions of people to their will with one imperial edict, like somebody from like Newsom or Cuomo. Just one imperial edict, mask up, or whatever it is. It's also why liberal judges don't believe in the Constitution like conservative justices do. Sticking to one set of rules means people have freedom to do what they want as long as they adhere to the basic rules of our society, which it was formed around. A living constitution means you can put the force of law behind the whims of liberal judges. And this is, think about it. Why was Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and the Clintons so insistent on listening in on your phone calls via the NSA? Why? Because imagine if the government can watch, you and it can tell you what to do for your own good, of course this is the way why they want to tap you through the NSA. Terry, there's five major points the article makes, and they're all very well thought out.
They are.
About how liberals want to control us.
They are, Jesse. One backup that I want to talk about is subsidiarity that liberals hate. The Catholic Church teaches that subsidiarity is a good thing, meaning that local people can take care of local problems. But the liberals say, no, the bigger the government liberals have, the smaller the citizen. In other words, the Catholic Church, right in the Catechism, talks about subsidiarity being a good thing, but liberals hate it because they don't control what's going on locally. They want to control everything from Big Brother. Is that a fair statement, Jess?
Absolutely.
All right, that's what I wanted to make. Subsidiarity principle, that's a biblical and it's a Catholic principle.
Yeah, Terry, and I'll tell you, what the word liberal progressive, it just basically means what can the government do for me? That's what it means. Okay.
Yeah.
When somebody says I'm a liberal progressive, they're a social justice warrior, and they're just trying to seek government handouts. But here's the problem with these social justice liberal progressives, Terry, is that they're trying to save people from poverty, but we're trying to save people from hell.
Exactly. That's the difference.
That's a big difference. So these social justice liberals, they seek salvation from poverty. Catholics, We seek salvation of the soul, salvation from being in hell in all eternity. And just to go show you that it is a biblical word, like Terry said, it's in 2 John chapter 1, verse 9.
Yep.
2 John chapter, let me read this right from the New American Bible. Here's what it says. Quote, John the Apostle wrote this. Anyone who is so progressive as not to remain in the teaching of the Christ does not have God.
Yep.
Whoever remains in the teaching has the Father and the Son.
Mm.
What teaching are they talking about? The gospel, the good news, repent and believe. But St. John, he also writes, but whoever is so progressive, in other words, this is a person who for them, truth is always changing. Truth evolves. That's a progressive. John says if you're a progressive, St. John the Apostle says you don't remain in the teachings of God the Father or God the Son, the gospel. And so the word progressive, let's just be honest, it's a synonym. It means the same thing as liberal. Liberal, progressive, take a look at the dictionary. It means the same thing. It's a synonym. And so the word progressive is condemned, progressive thought, is condemned in the Bible. It's condemned by Almighty God.
Yep.
And so when somebody says they're a liberal, again, that's a synonym for progressive, and this is a huge problem. I am a conservative. What does that mean? Okay, people think, oh, don't say that word. That means that I want to conserve what God teaches. What God teaches on marriage, on the sanctity of human life, on morality, that's permanent. That's fixed. That's perfect. That's flawless.
That's right.
I want to conserve that because it's perfect. You can't progress from what God has already given us through morality and marriage and the life issues. Though you can't progress from that. You can't make it any better than God did. And so the word conservative, Terry, I looked it up in the dictionary.com. It means traditional. That's all conservative means. I'm a traditional Catholic. That's in the Bible. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. It says, hold fast to the traditions you were taught. The word tradition and conservative, it means the same thing.
And Jesse, well said. And that's why we say consistently, Jesse and I use the word perennial teachings of the church.
Because that's conservative.
That's exactly. to have a poem, bro. And so that's why I think when you hear somebody say, oh, I got a better idea, I'm like Ford, you know, for that Ford commercial. No, you don't have a better idea than what Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, teaches. That's why continually, to stay on the straight and narrow road, continually ask yourself, is this consistent with the perennial teachings of the church? If it's not, throw it out.
Terry, also, there's, truth be told, that the word liberal is a theological term. It's found in the new Advent. This is the 1917 Catholic
Encyclopedia. That's an old one too.
Okay, way before Vatican II, the 1917 Catholic Encyclopedia that you could access for free.
Mm-hmm.
It's called newadvent.org.
Oh, it's a great website.
Liberal is a theological term. Mm-hmm. It's found in the Catholic Encyclopedia. Of course, it's more used as an ecclesiastical liberal, that's what the church is condemning, is people that want to depart from the perennial teachings of the church. And guess what, Terry? We have a lot of them today in
Big
the
time.
Church
Inside
that do want to depart. That's and going back to what Dennis Prager says, whatever liberals touch, they destroy.
He also says the bigger the citizen, the bigger the government, the smaller the citizen. Man has some wisdom there. Hey, Jesse, I know we have these points. I want people to get to them. But
read the bullets. Right,
number one, liberals
bullets.
Want to control you with government regulations. Are you sitting down? Listen to this. There are 174,545 pages of federal regulations. Are you kidding me, Jesse?
Who's going to read that?
Who? Nobody is. There's not a book big enough for that.
But they do it on purpose, Terry, so you won't read it.
Of course. Remember Pelosi said about that one liberal document that was the
Obamacare.
Obamacare. You don't have to read it. Just sign off it for it. No.
Yeah.
Number two, Jess.
Liberals want to control your major life decisions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, think about, the teachers' unions or say, we'll give your kids the education we want to give them. You have nothing to say about their education. They also want, limited investment opportunities in Social Security. They want to shove shove Obamacare down our throat, by and large. That's going to mean that there's going to be death panels. People are going to decide in hospitals whether you live or die based on, your age, your illness. That's it's called euthanasia now.
Yeah,
okay?
Of course, it's here.
And so it'll be a big daddy government that's going to decide if you're better off having a surgery, just better off taking a painkiller. And so, again, we see it right now. They want to control our major life decisions.
Number three, they want to control your speech. Case in point, we're not on YouTube. We're conservative, okay? You got to get rid of these guys. So we know that that's a fact. Let's hit number four because we only have...
Number four, liberals want to control minorities.
Oh, boy.
Huh. You see all the race wars right now that the liberals have ginned
of
up?
Of course.
And guess what? If you're a minority and you have common sense and are conservative like Clarence Thomas, Larry Elder, Ben Carson, Candace Owens, Michelle Malkin, guess what? They demonize you. They call you names. They call you Uncle Tom. They call you... this, that, and the other, because if you're a minority, you're supposed to think like a liberal, because these liberals want... Who told us this? Malcolm X. Malcolm X, who... I'm no fan of him, Malcolm X. He's a Black Nation of Islam leader back in the 60s. He says, the biggest enemy of the black are white liberals. Guess what? I agree with him.
Yeah, well said. And then last one, liberals want to control your money. The age of entitlements. We know that. Liberals are happy to hand out food stamps, welfare, church lunch programs. Do you realize right now here in California, Jesse, that it matters not what your income is? Every single kid in schools, in public schools, gets a free lunch, whether they need it or not. I mean, go ahead and defend that. I'm sorry. So I'm making X amount of dollars. I can afford my lunch. And what are they trying to do? That's called control.
That's right. Liberals believe that we should have a populace that is controlled by the government. That's socialism and communism.
That's right.
They don't believe that a government that is controlled by the populace, in other words, we the people vote them in, vote them out. No, they don't even allow us to do that, Terry. They stole the last elections. That's so if you think that liberals say, oh, no, you can vote every four. No, they stole the last elections. They don't even want us to choose the government of our own choosing, of our own desires, Terry.
No, I want to recommend just an endorsement of Catholic World Report. There's three big articles there regarding the life of the church. Father Joe Fessio has a great article. Father Peter Stravinskas. Go to Catholic World Report. Read those articles. Be a high information Catholic. Jesse, I just want to tell our listeners that we appreciate their support because we couldn't preach the truth in charity without them. If you'd like to become a monthly donor, go to vmpr.org or call me. I'll get you to become a monthly donor. You get a couple $100 worth of CD recordings from the 40 years of recordings I've done for free. Obviously, that $25 or more a month does that. Call 661-972-7872. Jess Romero, what state should we be living in, brother?
Let's live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. And remember the Crusader cry. Christ conquers. Yep. Christ reigns. Christ commands. Terry?
Well, I just want to say tune into Dr. Ed Mazza's show coming up in about 2 minutes. Have a quick break, and we're going to help you fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. This is the Terry and Jesse Show, praising God by sharing the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God love you and your family.